Welcome to the Industrial IoT Spotlight, your number one spot for insight from industrial IoT thought leaders who are transforming businesses today, with your host, Eric Walenza.
This episode of the IoT Spotlight is brought to you by the Industrial Internet Consortium. The Industrial Internet Consortium is the world's leading organization transforming business and society by accelerating the Industrial Internet of Things. IoT One has been a member of the Industrial Internet Consortium since 2015, and I've personally always been impressed by their ability to facilitate collaboration between hundreds of companies to bring new technologies to market and to jointly address topics like security and system architecture, which are fundamental to scaling industrial IoT adoption. Welcome back to the Industrial IoT Spotlight. I'm joined today by Jim Morris. Jim is the head of strategy and partnerships at Nokia Wing. And Jim is also the co-chair of Business Strategy and Solutions Lifecycle Working Group at the Industrial Internet Consortium, as well as the chair of the Business Strategy Task Group. Jim, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So today we're going to be discussing the business strategy and innovation framework. But before we get into the details of the framework, let's just cover a bit of your background, Jim. So maybe starting with Nokia, what does this mean? So strategy and partnerships, this is a broad scope. What's actually the scope of your business with Nokia Wing?
Firstly, I'm within the Nokia Wing division. So Wing is a connectivity platform. We enable connectivity of all types. So cellular connectivity, low power wide area, connectivity, including license exempt satellite, you name it, in all countries around the world. So it's a connectivity platform delivered as a managed and homogenous service. And that's my home within Nokia. And for that group, I'm head of strategy and partnerships with the other outside organizations. I also look after go-to-market support and consulting support for that division.
Maybe before we dig in here, because I think this is actually quite relevant to our conversation, partnerships. Can you just explain briefly the importance of partnerships for Nokia Wing? Because I think really in the industrial IoT space, they are more important than maybe they have been with previous technology waves.
Absolutely, they are. So partnerships are crucial for Nokia Wing, as they are for really any company engaging in industrial IoT. Industrial IoT represents a new way of doing things. There are business models which pull on different elements of organizations and force companies to work together in new ways, sharing data and collaborating to bring new propositions to market. This is a new way of doing business. It's a new way of the economy working in many ways. And frankly, what we're seeing at the moment is a transition from old pre-IoT industries, figuring out how to adopt IoT. And that process of transformation, you know, nobody is a one-stop shop yet. When there's a big shakeout in the industry and in the economy, we may reconfigure and new titans of the IoT era may emerge, but it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, even some of the companies that previously were, to an extent, one-stop shops in industrial automation, for example, now seem to be opening up a little bit as new technology domains that they don't have kind of a world-class competence in are becoming relevant. So it'll be interesting to see how this develops. Jim, you are co-chair of the Business Strategy and Solutions Lifecycle Working Group. Obviously, this document came out of this working group, but kind of a higher purview. What's the focus? What are you guys trying to accomplish?
Really, what Business Strategy and Solution Lifecycle is about is trying to take the learnings and the technical development and the thinking of the Industrial Internet Consortium and provide a window onto that, which is aimed at a project manager. So effectively, it's about de-risking the adoption of IoT technologies. There's obviously a huge demand to adopt Internet of Things technologies. A lot of companies are working on it. And basically, we realized that, you know, to effectively be a project manager in an Internet of Things project, you need, you know, 10 years of communications experience, 10 years of hardware experience, and 10 years of software experience. And nobody has those things. So it's quite a challenging thing to do. And I think what we're trying to do is to educate project managers and senior managers and CXOs of companies who are looking to engage in IoT. We're helping them to understand what it is they have to do. And that's in terms of, you know, the scope and all the things they need to address, and sensible ways to address some of the challenges that they will come across. And basically, that comes down to de-risking the adoption of IoT technologies.
And then today, the discussion at hand is the Business Strategy and Innovation Framework. So this is a very impressive document. I think it's gotten been very well received by the market to an extent. What are the origins of this? What was the, let's say, the original question, the original challenge? Because this was certainly a significant amount of effort that resulted in this document. So what was the primary cause here for you guys to sit down? And it was several companies involved.
Effectively, this business strategy innovation framework embodies the first level delivery of kind of what I was just describing around business strategy and solution lifecycle. So this is, you know, the de-risking of the commercial aspects and the idea generation through to, you know, through to handing over to solution deployment. And the idea really was to get our arms around the whole problem. Certainly when we sat down to develop the BSIF, one of the things that really motivated us was that we felt that many project managers didn't really know where to start when confronted with IoT and when looking to adopt IoT technologies. So they might pick out, you know, five or six top things that they need to focus on, but then miss three or four others. And of course, missing those three or four others, you know, causes problems in terms of execution and delivery of projects and so on. And what we wanted to do as a group of people and with effectively with the stamp of the Industrial Internet Consortium, so you're certifying that this is effectively an independent thing and an industry best practice thing, was set out to list all of the things that a project manager or a CXO engaging in IoT would need to think about and consider right through to the point where they hand over projects for deployment.
Clear. So this is intended both for a project manager who's responsible for the product, and then also for the decision makers that are maybe responsible more generally for the business, but want to make sure that they have all of the bases covered from the technology through the business model.
Exactly. We're trying to make sure that the adoption of IoT is not a step into the unknown. It's a step into something which has been dimensioned and scope and is a known envelope to address.
Why don't we dig a little bit into the contents here? So we're starting first with the market context, outlining the opportunity. I think this is something that at a high level, people understand, right? These numbers have been kind of thrown around by different corporates for a long time. So, okay, there's a big opportunity, but how do you view this from a product manager perspective, maybe somewhat of a bottom-up perspective as opposed to kind of the 50 billion devices?
This is the problem with the big forecast numbers. They both overestimate and overemphasize the opportunity, but underestimate and don't adequately communicate the impact that IoT is going to have. So the reality is that IoT is going to transform business models, it's going to transform the economy and the way that we work. And that's a much more fundamental concept than just connecting, you know, 50 million devices. And I think that we try to pull that out in our analysis of some of the business and market drivers and societal drivers, recognize that, yes, there are big numbers, but actually let's move on to the significance of this. And actually it is significant to every company and every enterprise.
When I talk to a lot of companies, it's actually the business element or the strategy element that's often more interesting and to an extent more perplexing than the technology. So I feel like a lot of companies feel like the technology is, okay, in some cases it's still under development, but generally speaking, it's something where they feel comfortable evaluating what are the options out there. But then when it comes to the business model, there's a higher level of uncertainty regarding, you know, will my customers adopt a new process and opt to do a pricing model and so forth. Is this kind of what you're getting at with the strategy element, is looking at innovation in how IoT technology allows you to alter the way businesses run?
Yes, and that's a key concept. There are different groups of companies which are looking to adopt IoT technologies, or two broad categories, and some are really just seeking to automate and make more efficient the things that they already do. The others are taking a view on what their customers actually want and trying to find a way to better deliver those solutions and to restructure their businesses to better deliver to those needs. And it's the second approach which really is the right approach to take with this.
I think intuitively, the second approach is the right approach. It's certainly not the approach that many companies take, right? I think many companies kind of, okay, this is what R&D has produced. Now, how do we sell this? How do you talk to companies about this, or how do you talk to companies about how to shift? Because this is it's a mentality shift. It's a shift in terms of how their business is structured, their innovation is structured. So it's not a simple kind of eureka moment. There's actually some work that needs to get done in terms of changing how you bring a new product to market.
Yes, there is. And it's hard. It's hard to do because in many ways it's impossible to point to the future. It doesn't exist yet. So it's hard to underline how things are going to change. But often there are comparables. So no matter what industry a company might be participating in, you can look at other comparable industries, things that are happening, for instance, in the aerospace industry and the power by the hour there and the way that some smart cities applications work. And you can look at the transformation and the transformation in fleet and some of these things and apply those to across industries effectively and underline that business models will be changing. And then I think the thing to do, once that concept has been accepted, is to get the right group of people in a room and just workshop the situation. Say, well, really, what do our customers want? Are we selling drills or are we selling holes? What do people actually want? They want a hole in the wall, but they feel like they have to buy a drill. Or is it actually a drill they want? And it's about establishing that customer need and trying to better deliver it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I was talking with Stan Schneider, who I'm sure you know well, about around the connectivity earlier this week. He had a great point, which is people still, and traditionally, but really still today, primarily look to other companies in their own vertical for inspiration. And this is not very productive often in IoT. You have a lot to learn from what other verticals are doing around maybe the a similar use case, a similar business model. And it's really more productive to say, we're trying to build a particular type of value creation model. Now, which other companies have done this? And very likely, they're going to be companies that are in completely different verticals that might be 2 or 3 years ahead of us in terms of adopting technology. So this is also a broadening of the scope of vision. In the document, you then kind of outline the process of ideation and so forth. Is this based on, I guess there's kind of the lean startup methodology. Are you kind of leaning on that for inspiration, or do you feel like there's a different methodology for how to have a more effective ideation model for the industrial internet?
So the business model innovation segment, that was very much drawn on the experience of Bosch Software Innovation and Veronica Brandt, who spent a lot of time workshopping with clients around, specifically around what's different about the Internet of Things. And the first element in terms of her approach is more traditionally aligned in terms of just looking at production optimization. So that's doing the same things, but better and more efficiently, effectively. And then the IoT piece is very much looking at the new business models. And that's the very open-ended and blue sky brainstorming. That's the piece that's different from more traditional systems integration, I think, which focused more on efficiencies within an organization and within the delivery of a service or a solution, rather than really transforming what it was that was done and generating new value networks of partners. That's what's new about IoT.
A high level, we could kind of divide this into two categories of solutions. So one would be a product that is being sold to a third party, and then you could have new ways of creating value or monetizing a process or data. And then on the other side, you would have our internal operations and new ways of creating value for internal stakeholders. Do you kind of take different approaches for teams that are tackling these different issues, or is it the same fundamental approach, but then just kind of different groups of stakeholders?
No, it's quite different, actually. So in terms of production optimization and doing, making products more efficient, it's classical re-engineering approaches. So you would get people from the business, you get stakeholders from the business and identify where the pressure points are, where the pain points are, where the faults are on the production lines, etc., and just go back through root cause analysis and fix things. That's a fairly standard re-engineering approach. The new concepts, the new IoT concepts, very much are more blue sky in nature, and you need to start reaching out to customers, you need focus groups, you need user groups and just facilitated conversations to try and understand really what it is they need, because obviously they'll be in the mode of being used to consuming what it is that the market offers them. And you need to somehow get behind that to understand what they need and better match those needs.
And then I guess you have a class of solutions that are kind of
amalgam of both, right? So if I'm thinking about, I believe Adidas has some new facilities where it's mass customized shoes. So you go online somewhere, you select from tens of thousands of different options, and then it's automatically, you know, sent through the supply chain to the factory. Very small workforce in the factory, so highly automated. And the shoe would then be, delivered. And so you have kind of very few human touch points. You have mass customization. You have kind of an e-commerce solution. So you're changing the path to market of the product, to an extent, cutting out the distributors. So it's a new, from the customer standpoint, it's a new way to buy shoes. You have new type of offering. So you have much more ability to customize the product. From a supply chain standpoint, it's radically different. From a path to market in terms of the distribution network, it's also different in terms of some of the, you know, the traditional retailers and distributors might not be there. And then from a manufacturing standpoint, you also have new technology. So you have a lot of different ways that the system is changing. It's in that case, you could say it is kind of an operational solution, but it's certainly not an optimization. It's kind of a radically new solution. How do you approach more, you know, kind of complex situations like this, where there's many, many different stakeholders from your end customer through, you know, internal divisions and then also partner organizations or suppliers who are all going to be impacted by this this solution?
Well, all concepts like that start off with an idea, and that's why ideation is key. So it's an iterative process. It's not just about sitting down and saying, what can we do to make, with one group of people saying, what can we do to make our business more efficient whilst not really changing what we deliver? And then another group of people and saying, what can we better do for clients? Once you've come out with either those workshops or those efforts, those initiatives with a list of ideas, you need to, you know, start feeding that to project teams and asking them what could then be done with the, you know, assuming these new capabilities. So if you have a new production capability, what might you ultimately be able to do with that that changes the customer proposition? This is to some extent why it's quite important to have, and one of the things that we suggested within the document was implementing an industrial IoT center of excellence. And this is a group of folks within an organization, which really is an internal consultancy capability. And they focus on identifying and applying industrial IoT best practices, enabling, you know, change management, you know, rethinking business models, and figuring out how human resources need to change and the profile of human resource needs to change to adequately support the business in the IoT era. So, I mean, these things have to start from ideas, but you do need to bring in some expertise. And as you were mentioning earlier, and you were commenting from that Stan commented, you're bringing in some learning from other industries. One of my personal favorite references is to look what happens in the aerospace industry. The assets in the aerospace industry are very expensive, and it makes business cases quite easy to cost in. And it means that, you know, they tend to be really quite advanced in the way that they have adopted IoT, and many of the concepts that are present there roll out across other industries. To some extent, you know, the future is already here. It's just not particularly well distributed. And you need people who focus on that.
You're absolutely right. And this concept of IoT Center of Excellence, interesting. I do think we are starting to see companies set up either, actually, I don't think I've seen many centers of excellence. What I've seen is more individuals that have this role. What would your, maybe based on your experience either at Nokia or with other companies, how would you suggest that a company take the first steps towards setting this up? And then where would this sit in an organization?
Frankly, it's almost what I do within Nokia, or what I'm responsible for. And the place that I sit within Nokia Wing is supporting the sales channels effectively. So, as and when, you know, Nokia identifies, or Nokia Wing identifies opportunities, I might help them, you know, help those end users understand really what it is that can be done with the Internet of Things. So yes, I think it grows organically. It grows from having people in the organization or identifying people who effectively will begin to be that center of excellence, and who will build assets and PowerPoint slides and guides and information and use cases and benchmarks and reference cases and all sorts of things, and just own that and push that out to the other parts of the organization as they need it, and also, you know, supply some kind of, you know, consulting support when questions come up, and people and folks in the other parts of the organization, you know, are trying to figure out how to adopt IoT, just making sure they come back to the center of excellence. So I think it very much is an organic process.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And companies have different places where they're starting this initiative, right? It could be on the product side, it could be on the operations side of operations, manufacturing or logistics and so forth. So there's always going to be a starting point that's driven by business necessity and the business case. Let me make a quick maybe shout out to the Industrial Internet Consortium, because if you are starting quite fresh on this, really the IIC is a center of excellence that's available to all members and also to an extent to non-members. Of course, members have access to much, you know, much deeper information, but you know what you're talking about here, Jim, in terms of developing, you know, documents and processes and being able to help advise and answer questions. These are things that members of the IIC have from each other, which is an incredible resource to be able to ask somebody from Bosch or Siemens or Nokia, how would you address this and bring that knowledge into your organization?
Yes, exactly. And I mean, that, as an overall explanation, I think you're spot on. In the specific case of the business strategy innovation framework, we had people, you know, contributing from an industry analyst, McKean Research, that's myself. We had Veronica Brandt, I've mentioned, from Bosch Software Innovation. There's Ken Figueredo from InterDigital, and there's Steve Haldeman from Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. So this was reviewed by many others within the IIC. So this was a product of many people's thinking, and that makes it a better thing than any one individual or individual company could have done. And not only that, but it makes it independent and it becomes a reference source in a way that no individual company could create something that is a reference source, because this has been reviewed by the IIC community. If I, in my Nokia life, step forward in front of a client and say, look, we did this piece of work, these are broadly the things that you need to think about if you're adopting IoT technologies, I can say that and I can reference the Industrial Internet Consortium and I can say that it's industry best practice. And that is a much more compelling story than if I'd come up with the same list of things myself.
And also much more efficient to do than starting from scratch. Jim, the last section on the document, I think, quite interestingly, is the Industrial IoT Platform. And this is a set of technologies that I think is particularly interesting because it is so challenging to define. So there's a lot of companies out there that are talking about their platform, right? Their IoT platform. And they often do radically different things. They can be around connectivity, they can be around building apps, but they're, I mean, certainly very central to the business and also very interesting from a business model perspective, because they all, to some extent, have some of the Apple Store, you know, kind of that feel of a platform that other companies can use to create value, right? And so there's some scalability to them. How do you view the IoT or the industrial IoT platform as kind of a category of technology?
It is a crucial category of technologies, without doubt. I mean, platforms are basically the place where scale hits the Internet of Things. And frankly, scale and exchange of data really are the secret sauce of the Internet of Things. So they're a very crucial concept, both in terms of efficiency of deployment of solutions, but also in terms of, you know, the secret sauce that is the Internet of Things and combining multiple data sources across from multiple players. So it's an absolutely crucial set of technologies. It does look, I mean, we've come from a history where, you know, there's been a lot talked about platforms and many companies have put themselves forward as platforms. And it does look now like we're getting to a situation where people are, where platforms are more focused, I think, than they were in the early years of the IoT. I think in the very early years, a platform company would have a focus, but would try and do as much as possible of a specific solution. I think now we're getting more specialization and companies playing more to niches and to differentiating in those niches. So the platform environment is maturing quite quickly, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's very very healthy, and it's certainly come out of, I think, a lot of the initial platforms somewhat under-delivering in terms of performance because they were trying to cover such a broad scope. And now, the market, of course, for platforms, as is very natural for a new technology domain, is very crowded. In your previous role, you were an analyst. I'm sure you spent a lot of time studying this market. Do you expect there to be some significant degree of consolidation in the coming 2 to 3 years, or do you think that it's going to kind of continue to be a very vibrant blue ocean environment for some amount of time?
I do think it's going to be quite a vibrant and diverse group of platforms. What you have got happening, though, in the background is the gradual emergence of standards. Now, I don't think that standards again to keep up with the creativity of IoT business models. So I don't think that we're going to get to a completely standardized environment for a very long time, or a significantly long time. But you do have that creeping standardization, and what that does is does drive an element of consolidation, and it underpins in many ways scale advantages and competing on elements of propositions such as, you know, the diversity of geographic locations of a platform rather than the, you know, the actual functionality of an AEP, for example. So yes, I think it is going to consolidate down, not quickly, and it'll be very vibrant and very diverse for quite a long time to come, I think.
Final question, Jim. Nokia's platform, what does this offering from Nokia look like today if we use Nokia to an extent as an example of, you know, what they have built and put out into the marketplace? How would you kind of define that? And if you can share a little bit of the insight into the process of figuring out what the right solution is and bringing that to market. And, you know, you could say this maybe would be a little bit of an application case from the BSIF.
So Nokia plays across many areas in this space, starting from the bottom level in the stack, effectively, or the bottom level in the stack as viewed from a communications person's perspective, is Wing. That's my division. So that's a multi-country, multi-technology agnostic connectivity platform. You know, delivers connectivity in a homogeneous way anywhere, effectively. That's one level. Sitting on top of that, we have Nokia software, which is much more around device management and application enablement. We have applications sitting on top of that. We have an applications place, specific niche applications in areas such as supply chain or smart cities. And we've got some of the more horizontal components that are quite relevant in the IoT space, such as, you know, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and remote monitoring and maintenance, etc. So we have quite a broad set of capabilities in the IoT space.
Is there anything on the horizon that you'd be able to point out that we could maybe expect in 12 to 24 months, or, you know, if it's not a particular product, maybe just a kind of a trend, or you know, in terms of adoption or use case adoption that you think would be interesting for people to be paying attention to?
I think we're getting to the point where many areas of IoT are getting traction. So I think the term IoT has been commonplace probably for 5 or 6 years. When I first put IoT on business cards in 2011. We thought I meant interoperability testing. So, you know, it's quite a recent term. So there's been a lot of talk about the potential. I think there are a number of areas where it's really getting to be real now. So fleet management, supply chain, intelligent factories, smart cities, those are the things that really come to mind as parts of IoT that are really getting traction and becoming mainstream, I think, becoming commonplace. So I'm expecting to see more of that in the next 12 months. Just we're getting to that inflection in the curve where we're not looking to the future so much, but quite widespread adoption for many of these solutions, I think.
Yeah, we had a workshop last night, and as an activity, we had people from many different industries. So we had about 20 people covering probably 10 different industries, and we had a discussion around digitalization, how it's impacting your business. And at the beginning, people were, you know, these guys are not coming from technology, they're coming from the business side. They're saying, well, I don't really know what digitalization is and so forth. But then we went through an activity of imagining your business today, you know, listing some set of technologies and then imagining how your business might look like. And kind of from a bottom-up perspective, they actually had a lot of very coherent ideas in terms of either what their business was doing today or what could be done. And I think we're certainly getting to the point where even if people are still a little bit fuzzy, which is kind of natural because it's a very huge, you know, it's a very large ephemeral concept, digitalization or IoT. So maybe that high-level concept is still a bit fuzzy, but from a bottom-up perspective, people are starting to identify specific use cases that make sense that they've seen in the world. And I think that's a very healthy thing because end of the day, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about just finding solutions to problems.
That's where it gets real. When IoT moves out of the domain of the technologists and the vendors and is adopted by, I know, people who run art galleries or coffee shops, you know, begin to wonder what it is that could be done with these digital transformation and IoT technologies, that's when it really takes off.
Well, it's going to be an interesting future. And Jim, thank you for the hard work and helping to provide some clarity in terms of, you know, how we might better create that future. So, and thanks for taking the time today. I really enjoyed the discussion.
No problem. And thanks for inviting me into this dialogue. It's been an interesting conversation.
The best way for somebody to get involved with the BSIF or to reach out, is it typically that they should get in touch with Kathy What's your preferred? If somebody just wants to learn more about the work that you guys are doing over in the working group?
Well, the BSIF is published. So anybody can surf over to the IOC's website, which is iaconsortium.org. And there's a list of resources and technical papers. And there you'll find the BSIF and many other publications from the IOC. So that's one level. You read the document, take it away, use it as you can. We are continuing work in this same space within the business strategy task group within the IOC and also within business strategy and solution lifecycle. And if you actually want to get engaged in that work and involved in that work and in the discussions and contribute to the next wave of deliverables and contribute and influence the thinking, you know, we'd love you to be involved. But you'd have to be a member of the IOC first. So the thing to do would be to join the IOC, or if you are already members, then just join the group calls and working sessions and feel free to contribute.
Perfect. And we'll put all of that in the show notes. Jim, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you very much.
This episode of the IoT Spotlight was brought to you by the Industrial Internet Consortium. To learn more about their joint test beds, white papers, and other collaborative activities, visit www.iiconsortium.org or reach out to me directly and I'll be happy to make an introduction.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Industrial IoT Spotlight. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at IoT1HQ and to check out our database of case studies on IoT1.com. If you have unique insight or a project deployment story to share, we'd love to feature you on a future edition. Write us at eric.walenza@iot1.com.